I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Before we get that, I wanted to just mention something to you. Ryan mentioned about how young he was by rubbing shoulders with the young people. I want you to know that every day he rubs shoulders with me and Diana. Just keep that in mind. Every day he comes to the office, he rubs shoulders with two young people. Okay, just kind of keep that in mind. That's what keeps him young, or maybe him rubbing, never mind. We do have some prayer requests that I wanted to mention to you. Some of them are in the bulletin. Maddie came through her surgery on Thursday well. I texted her last night, and she said that she's pretty sore in the arms because she's having to hop with a walker. She's not allowed to put any weight down on her one foot, so I'm sure she would appreciate your prayers, and she does say she wishes she was here. Talked to Jerry and Carol Sturgeon before. Randy Marmazet is out of his coma, but he did not have 8 bruised ribs. They are 8 cracked ribs, right? Broken ribs. So he did finally come out of his coma, but they are trying to keep any interference down to a minimum because they don't want to get excited, and they want his body to heal. So keep praying for him to heal. That would be appreciated. Jim Markland's sister Julie had surgery this past week and is waiting the biopsy reports on that. And then Sherry Koontz is back in the hospital and will be probably going to a nursing home when she does get out, until she's strong enough to go back home. So be praying for those folks this morning, if you would. I'd like you to turn to John 14 and keep that ready from 15 to 31. I'll be referring to that during the message, going back and reading it. So rather than read first and then go back and read it again, I'm going to just to use that during the message time and read it then. But I'd like you to join with me in prayer to begin with, if you would, please. And Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for the love that is so fantastic, so infinitesimal that we cannot describe it. We cannot define it. It goes beyond our words to even express it. And so we thank you for that love. We thank you for the fact that you hear our prayers. And you know the prayers that we have even before we mention them. And so we leave these folks at your feet because we know that you know their needs better than we do. You know ours better than we even do. And so whether they be spoken or unspoken, we ask your will to be done. I pray now for us this morning as we study. Help us to grasp the meaning of this passage as Jesus is talking to his disciples for one of the last times. As he talks to them about peace, I know that there are many folks even in this room who desperately crave that peace, and I pray that somehow through the message, through your word, that message of peace might hit home. I ask that you might speak to our hearts this morning and just help us to leave here today knowing a little bit more about the power that is available to us. And then I pray that as the message is brought, you help me to step aside and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. In case you haven't noticed, across the street is Hoosier Energy. Now, I know you probably didn't notice that as you came by and you haven't watched all the construction, but about a month and a half ago, the three of us, Diana, Ryan, and I, were given a personal tour of the facility. Learned a lot of new things. For example, it is not a power center, it is a command center. The power is not there. The command for the power is there. You go down underground under thousands of pounds of concrete into a locked room. You will see a big, humongous bank of monitors. I said in the first service, it is geek heaven, because this whole wall is taken up with computer monitors. And you could, if they wanted to, they could put the whole grid all on one, or they can separate different grids into different places, and they can tell where power is on, power is off, where an accident has happened to turn power off, and then they can command from there to send people out. However, there are places where there is power. They are called substations. And most of those have a fence around them, and they will have on it words like caution, do not enter, danger. And that is telling us, don't get near this place. There's too much power here. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but there have been times during the summer, especially when it is really, really hot, and I've been writing that if you go underneath power lines, you can literally hear them humming. Have you ever heard them do that? I've sat there and listened to them hum as the electricity is powering through those lines, going from the station to the homes and the businesses where it is intended to go. And I am sitting there so grateful that it is housed in protective sheathing, because I would be toast if it wasn't. I have here a transformer. No, it's not going to become a robot or anything like that. But this is a transformer. It's for an HO train. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you hook this up to your power supply, you could do your house? Well, how about this one? It's bigger. Why? Well, they're not designed to do that, are they? They're designed for one thing and one thing only, and that is for an HO train or any kind of train. But they are not designed to give you the power to do your house as you probably wish it would, because it'll be a whole lot cheaper than what you're paying now. As followers of Christ, we often miss out on the power that is available to us as believers. It is a good thing that we cannot understand God. Because you see, God is beyond our ability to understand. In fact, if we could understand Him, we would be in trouble. Because if I could understand God, He would be just like me. And that is not good. So God's power, the ability to understand God is beyond us. The ability to understand the Holy Spirit is beyond us. But here's the principle. It is not our ability or not our purpose to understand God. It is our purpose to worship God. I want to repeat that. It is not our purpose to understand God. It is our purpose to worship Him. We will never understand God, and we will never understand the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said has been promised to us, and His power. What I want to do today is I want to take this subject of the Holy Spirit, and there is no way, no way under God's green earth that we could ever encapsulate everything into 25 minutes that we know about the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe some could. But what we are told in the Scriptures, we can never limit to 25 minutes. We could be here for days talking about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does and how He works. So I want to take just a little piece of that, and I just want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning and the power that is available to us, especially as it gives way to peace. Okay, that's where we want to go, is we want to talk about peace of John chapter 14. So let's begin, first of all, by talking about the promised legacy. Now, I mentioned in the first service, and I'm going to do that again. If you look in your bulletin, you will see four truths They give you peace. Well, when I work on a sermon, I will sit there and I'll gather a lot of information and I'll think, oh, this will fit, this will work, and I'll kind of put it all together. And then a week before the sermon, I send it to Ryan, I send it to Joe, I send it to Diana, I send it to Julianne, I send it to Ron, and I send it to Mike. And that's my outline. And that's what you see in the bulletin. And that's so things could get done and they could kind of get a little grasp of the message beforehand, or it can get on the website. But little do I know how God changes things when he wants them changed. And that's what he did to me last night. Because as I studied, it's like he said, Bill, I don't even want you to do this first section here. I want you to wipe out the four truths that you were going to do. They just don't fit. So disregard that whole section under there about four truths, okay? We will come back to that somewhere along the line this year as we study John. But I want you to begin at verse 15 with me. So please take your Bible. Let's read verse 15 where he simply says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty self-explanatory, I think. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes on to verse 16, and he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you. And I want to stop there for a minute, because the word that's used there for helper is important. It literally means the one called to be alongside you. Or to come alongside you. Other translations might call it the comforter, might call him the counselor, might call him the advocate, but it basically is the helper, the one who comes alongside us. And what he's trying to teach us are two truths. Number one, you are not alone. You have an inward helper. There are a lot of people, and this is verses 16 through 18, will show us that. There are a lot of people, their biggest fear is being alone. When I deal with folks who have either gone through a divorce or have dealt with death or just, you know, by themselves, one of the biggest problems is I am alone. I don't know what to do with myself. Where do I go from here? The scripture is telling us when he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He is telling us that he will not leave us alone. And so no matter what we are going through, he is saying, I will be your divine companion. Now there's a second lesson that he teaches us here, and that is that our life is inseparably linked to Christ himself. Verse 19. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are inseparably linked with the Father. We are inseparably linked with Jesus. We may not be able to see the Holy Spirit. Someone's phone's going off. Oh. Anyway, I lost my train of thought there. I shouldn't have done that. We may not be able to see the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to feel the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is there. That's important for us to remember. Sometimes the Bible tells us that we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. And so we don't always have to touch. We don't always have to feel something to know that it's there. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit lives within us. I can't touch it. I can't touch him. I can't feel him. But I know he's there. And the reason I know he's there is because it has been promised. The Holy Spirit, the helper, is given to every person at their conversion. Understand that. There is nobody who has come to Christ who walks around without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus living in you. Period. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. He lives in you. He dwells in you. And as long as He is alive in you, He is manifesting Himself in you. He's living His life through you. The Holy Spirit lives and indwells us, and we are available. His power is available to us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He has all the attributes of a person, but He lives and abides in us. Now, let's talk about the promised results. Let me ask you a question. If I were to go around each of you, would any of you say that you don't want any peace? Is there anybody here? It really doesn't matter what kind of peace you talk about. You know, other than maybe a religion or two that is a war-mongering religion, I think most people want peace, right? I want my grandson to grow up in a peaceful world. So I would like to see social harmony. How about you parents, especially the moms? You've been with your children all day, and they are literally driving you bananas. Or maybe dad, you're the stay-at-home dad, and they're driving you bananas. And your mate comes home, and you say, please, take these children. I need some peace and quiet. Remember several years ago, and I could not remember the commercial, but someone gave it to me. It was a Calgon commercial, Take Me Away. Is where the mother especially went into the bathroom, put in the bubble bath, and just sat there and says, take me away. Why? Because we need peace and quiet. How about this one? Make peace with your past. Make peace with your past. You see, we use peace in a lot of different ways. But primarily, when the New Testament talks about peace, it is talking about a person's standing with God. It's talking about a person's relationship with God. Everything else is a byproduct of that. That peace with God that you have is a bedrock for everything else. It's a bedrock for your relationship with your husband or your wife. It becomes a bedrock in a relationship between your children and you, between you and your neighbor, between you and your parents. It's the bedrock. Everything else becomes the byproduct of that. It's a bedrock of the relationships in the church. If we do not have a relationship with God, if we do not have a relationship that is based on peace with God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to knock some heads. We do that anyway. But imagine what it'd be like if we didn't have a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the bedrock of our faith becomes that, or bedrock of our lives becomes that faith. But the one antidote that peace gives is it's an antidote to fear. It's an antidote to fear. Because you see, we are afraid of so many things. You know where fear got its start? Where did fear get its start, you know? In the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They donned some fig leaves and they hid. When God came looking for them and He said, Adam, where are you? What did Adam say? I was afraid because I was naked. There had never been any fear up to that point. They had never been afraid of God's presence. But immediately when sin entered the picture, there was fear. Peace with God is an antidote to that fear. When we are enemies with God, because of our sin, our relationship with God brings us back together. That is done at the cross. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He brings us back together. But now, how do we have peace? There are four lessons that I'd like to leave with you this morning. How we can have peace. Number one, by depending on the person of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I remember growing up, I hardly heard anything about the Holy Spirit. My first recollection of the Holy Spirit was, you know, when somebody started talking about him, I about choked. I thought, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of talking about him. Notice the scripture, if you would, in verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. I'd like you to underline those two words, those words, all. He will bring all things. Now, I realize that Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was talking about divine remembrance, that there would be a point where the disciples would come, where they would need all this recollection of what Jesus had taught them, and he brought that to them. In fact, it was so much so that in Acts 17:6, it says that they and their compatriots turned the world upside down. Imagine what would happen if we could recall all that God has done for us. What a difference it would make. And here's the point. Whenever things are good, it's easy to remember that God is good. Whenever things are bad, it's easy to remember God is good. No, it's not, is it? Because it is easy to forget that God is good when things get bad. We walk around saying God is good all the time, God is good, until things get tough. And then we're going, God is good some of the time, but not now. No, what the scripture says that he will bring to our mind all that we need to remember. And as he brings these things to our mind, we remember how good he is. Look at the scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is not a lie, just as it's taught you, underline those last three words, abide in him. See, that's where it all comes from. The word abide means to live. To live in him. Depend on him. Go into John 15. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He says, without me, you can do nothing. We can't live on our own, folks. He walks through us. He reminds us when we're going through the valley, whether it's a valley of a shadow of death or a valley period, he reminds us that he's there with us. And that he is good, even when things are ugly. He is good. Now there's a second thing that he teaches us. He also teaches us that we can get this peace by claiming the peace of Jesus Christ. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace is yours. That peace is mine. And this peace doesn't come by positive confession. This peace doesn't come by positive thinking. It doesn't come by you saying, oh, it doesn't really exist. This trouble doesn't really exist. It's not really real, as some of us would like us to do. But it tells us that the peace that Jesus gives is ours. Number three, by accepting his plan for our future. Verses 28 and 29. You heard me say, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. One of the hardest things to do is to trust for our future. I don't know about you, but we tend to be control-minded people. We like to know what our future holds. And I suspect if I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you would like to know your future? Some of you would raise your hand. You know what? I don't want to know my future. I know one thing, where I'm going. I know that when I breathe my last breath, I will be in the presence of Jesus. That's the only future I want to know. I don't want to know what happens between now and then, because I may not like it. You see, we use a phrase, the best laid plans of mice and men. I kind of summarize it by saying they all go down the tubes. They're all for naught. We can make all the best plans in the world, but what we really need to do is trust the one who knows the future. That's where peace comes from. If we're worried about where our next dollar is going to come from, if we're going to worry about whether I can retire or not, if we're going to worry about whether I can do this or whether this is going to happen or whether I'm going to be able to get up in the morning or whether I'm going to be sore tomorrow, what's the joy in that? Let's not worry about our future. Let's leave it in the hands of one who does. And then there's a fourth thing. And that is by following the pattern for obedience, verses 30 and 31. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. You know, when I was growing up, the reward for obedience was much sweeter than the reward for disobedience. There was no reward for disobedience. There was only consequences. Jesus is talking about a peace that only he can give. And chase as we will and go after what we want, we will never find it. We're only going to find the peace that we so desperately want in Jesus. Let me give you four suggestions to find the peace. And I think this is a daily thing. Number one, acknowledge Jesus and the Holy Spirit as your source of power. Acknowledge Jesus and the Holy Spirit as your source of power. Number two, begin your day with prayer and claim his peace. What I mean by that is when you get up in the morning, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, wake up and say, good morning, Lord. This is your day. And I claim this day for you. I claim your peace on my day. And I'm going to live this day. And I may not like this, what happens today, but I'm claiming your peace for my day. The third thing, get rid of or correct pessimism by spending time in the Word. That is probably, there are two things that we as followers of Christ tend to let go. Number one is prayer. Number two is spending time in the Word. You cannot read the book of Psalms and stay pessimistic. You cannot read the life of Jesus and stay pessimistic. Get rid of the pessimism by spending time in the Word. And number four, devote yourself to obedience. You get up and you say, Father, I am yours. Here I am. Whatever you want, I will do. I'll worship you. I'll praise you through the valley, even if it's a valley of the shadow of death. I will praise you through that. And I will praise you through the good. I'll praise you through the bad. No matter what happens today, I will do it only in your power. but I will walk it with you. Because you see, he won't leave you alone. That is one of the most comforting truths that I have learned, is that I am not alone. And he is not going to leave me alone. He's not going to say, oh, Bill, you know that bed you made? Go ahead and lie in it by yourself. I'll meet you on the other end. He doesn't say that to me. He said, no, Bill, you made that bed. I'll walk through it with you. It'll be tough, but we'll walk through it together. And we'll come out on the other side. I always find it interesting. I don't know about you, but I like to read bumper stickers. Some of them I wish I had never read. But I heard a story about a gridlock on the Los Angeles freeway. And if you've ever been out that way, they must have 18,000 lanes and they all get gridlocked. And there were a number of cars, they weren't going anywhere, but there was one car that kept honking its horn. Just kept honking and honking. Finally, the guy in front of him got frustrated, got out and started screaming and yelling at him. And he looked at him and said, what? You said honk if you love Jesus, and I'm just honking. Well, following the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with tooting your horn. It has nothing to do with honking. It has everything to do with a quiet obedience to him. Being willing to say, here I am, use me as you want. As I said at the very beginning, there is no way that we can touch everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit in 15, 20, 25 minutes. But I want you to know something. When you walk out this door, no matter the news that hits you, when you go to school tomorrow or work tomorrow, no matter the news that hits you, good or bad, he's there with you. And he is offering you his peace. The Bible says it is a peace that passes understanding. And I don't grasp it. I can't grasp it all. But I know it's there for me. But what it simply takes is for me to say, Father, I am yours. Give me your peace. Help me depend on you, to depend on your power, and know that you are God and I am not. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us all to understand this promise of peace that comes to us if we just let you in. If we give up control of our own lives and say, here I am, Father, I'll be yours no matter what you want. I may not like what happens down the road, but that's not the important part. The important part is that I am willing to be submissive to you. And so I pray for everybody in this room, if they were a follower of Christ, I pray peace. I pray that we will understand the power that Jesus has left us in the person of the Holy Spirit, that we are overcomers, that we can overcome fear, we can overcome hate, we can overcome aloneness, not by our own power, but by the power of your Spirit. Let your Spirit be real to us this week. For those in this room who may not follow Jesus, help them to realize that they will never find lasting peace, true lasting peace, without Jesus. He becomes the bedrock for everything else. And as we sing this song, if a person needs to make a decision this morning, let them make it. If they don't, I'm going to pray that you not leave them alone until they do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song called Majesty. And I'm not sure that there is a better song that we could sing right now than this song that talks about realizing who God is.